Thank you. I know you've ministered much to us already this morning, and I have been asked just to spend a few minutes for us to get to know you just a little bit more. Obviously, we've just said that part of our review of this past year has been looking at what God has provided for all of us, and part of that story has been since February, you now being part of us here. Can I just start by asking you to tell us a little bit about what home life, growing up in South Africa, not a place that probably too many of us know a great deal about, just share a little bit, please, with us.
All right. Back in South Africa, thank you, Fiona. Back in South Africa, where I grew up in the city called Port Elizabeth, which is down, I would say, south at the bottom of the continent. It's on the Indian Ocean. You can swim, I think, in with regards to the weather here in Scotland, then you'll be able to swim every day in the sea. It's just warm and wonderful. We don't, as you heard the other night, maybe, we never talk about the weather because the weather is always good. And on weekends, we used to farm, approximately 140 kilometers away, and it would be with Angora goats, or which we would also know as mohair, which you would have various products. Last thing of the temperatures, very, very hot in the summers. You would have easily in the 40s, not at Port Elizabeth, but on the farm, you'd have that 40 degrees and up. And in the winter, it would also be cold. You are privileged having double glazed windows and central heating. We don't have that. You bear with the temperatures. Okay. Yes.
We might like to have 40 degrees sometimes. And there are probably a few people who do swim in the North Sea all the year round. Not here. But maybe we prefer to be in the Indian Ocean. So that sort of what seems sometimes kind of idyllic background growing up, there's an image of South Africa that some of us maybe have that doesn't totally equate with all of that. Can you just maybe share a little bit of what a country that in recent years has come from one image to that rainbow nation and is now a nation with, like every nation, different challenges.
Yes, yes. So most of you would obviously know of the previous regime of apartheid in South Africa. Growing up, I think that is maybe answering your question, Fiona, growing up and going to primary one, everything changed prior to that for myself. So I was not, we were in a new regime, the country changing, and everything, every year, I mentioned it the other night at the Akkad service, every year everything changed in our lives as youngsters. You won't say it's instability, but there were no much constant things in life except for diversity. That's the only constant thing. And integrating different cultures, which is quite a challenge, but a wonderful thing. And a last remark on that, which gives us, I think, the ability to think innovative. Innovative, thank you. Sorry, innovative, because you constantly need to think, how am I going to deal with this change, but embrace a big part of life.
Right. And in the midst of that moving, as you say, very diverse culture, where did the idea of becoming a minister come from? I always find that fascinating to ask somebody, what was it that attracted you to this job?
Yes.
Or did you think about lots of other things and then go, maybe I'll do this instead?
I'll answer the question from the back. So I would have liked to be a veterinarian. I do like animals, but yes, no. The plan was different when I was in primary. Well, let me rather state the year 1994. That would be late primary school, second last year of primary school. What is that? 6, thank you. Thank you, Sheila. In primary 6, we have we call it different different things back in South Africa. I was part of a witnessing group, a Christian witnessing group of our area, doing drama and music, and we would go to different churches and events and have witnessing evenings, etc. And there I knew, this is a calling. It was just good, and everything was just good about it. And I knew this is the thing I think I'm called to. Not knowing that I'll be a minister, but initially in 1994, and then not later in secondary school, 1997, it was quite definite, a call from the Lord to go into ministry. Yes.
Right. Now, the congregation that you were ministering to was part of a Dutch Reformed church.
Yes.
If we would have been able to come to that service, would it have been quite similar to what we have here or extremely different?
I would say there's a lot of similarities with the Dutch Reformed Church, and in comparison with the Church of Scotland, which I only now know vaguely, and that's the reason I'm here for, we have very different styles of worship around South Africa. You ask which congregation or parish it is, and they would have their own style. We have the same roots as the Church of Scotland, and maybe that's answering some of your questions. 200 years ago, it was the Church of Scotland which found our parish back in the last parish where I was, in Craddock. So similar style, sometimes it would be formal, sometimes it would be informal, different styles of music, given the parish and the demography of the congregation, yes.
Right. As you know, 3 years ago, we first met as a nominating committee, and we began as a whole church both to pray together on a Sunday morning and on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock to seek where God would take us. I have found out that something happened in your life 3 years ago as well.
Yes.
Can you share a wee bit of that?
Yes. Initially in 1997, when I had the calling to go to ministry or be a minister, it was very clear from the passage of Isaiah 42 that I would, as part of my calling, I would work abroad. And as part of the text of the calling is, you will also work with the islands. And I never thought that, I thought maybe it's a nice holiday somewhere. Well, no joke, I'm joking. In Haiti or Mauritius or some. So I never knew where it would be, but I knew that the Lord, if he calls, well, that's my experience, if he calls me to something, he will stand for that. And then 3 years ago, so I always knew it would come, it would happen. And 3 years ago, like many of you might experience in your life, you have different seasons. And I knew by the work of the Holy Spirit, there's a different season coming up now. I just knew it. And I started praying, asking the Lord 3 years ago, the same time when you started praying. I said, I know it's a new time. I don't know where. Nothing is wrong in the previous parish. We love one another, but it's time to go. And I want to know where it is. And I'm going to continue a little bit on that. And then a year and a half ago, a little bit more, with discernment, I asked the Lord in prayer again. I said, I want to know specifically where to know. I'll end there.
Well, you can't really end there, because the next question is very obviously, why Scotland?
Yes.
Before you came, had you ever been here?
No.
Okay, so all right. God obviously brought you.
Yes.
Anything else?
Yes, I'll tell something of it.
Makes a link of
yes,
Scotland.
I'll tell something of it. There's so much to tell, really, and we only have a little bit of time. But yes, I prayed really with discernment, and I said to the Lord, please, some of you know the story. I said, I'm praying and I'm asking you, Lord, to show me like you showed Abram, the father of believers, where to next. And I know you had a long way with Abram, encouraging him. He had struggles. Show me, like you did with Abram, different signs. And I don't believe in signs. I don't believe in tricks of the trade and things like that. And the moment the first time I prayed, the moment I stood up, my father said, would you just go down to the shop? Now, we don't walk to shops because shops is not close by to us. The distance is far. And I got into my car, switched on my radio, and Flower of Scotland was playing on the radio. And I switched off the radio and I said, how silly. If you want to see any signs, you will see any sign. You will see a sign. And I prayed and I said, Lord, exactly that. If I want to see a sign, I will find a sign. I don't want that. Show me in different ways how and where. All right? Just carry on a little bit. So the next morning, same afternoon, I prayed again. We were on holiday in our holiday house. And I got up the afternoon. I prayed again the same. I said, Lord, show me in different ways where and what. And as I got up from the couch, I walked downstairs and I was passing a clock on the wall. And I saw, the batteries must be flat of the clock. And it's similar to the position that clock is in now. Yes, 6:30. And
that stuff's got flat battery as well.
Early morning. And I took the clock to take it from the wall to get a new battery for it. And on the clock was written, Scotland works. And I thought, this is strange. But the arms of the clock was covering the words, Scotland clock works. So I only read Scotland works. And I thought to myself, no, this is a silly sign. It can't be Scotland. All right. Next morning, we did not go to church because we were on holiday. We listened to the radio service, and it was Ecclesiastes 3. There's a new season. I thought, thank you. Now we have something from the Word. I like that. Don't like the other signs. All right. After that, I knew there's a new season at least. Sat down with my godmother on her bed. My mother has passed away then 7 months or so. And I had a chat with her. And I said, how are you doing? She said, well, I said, tell me something of your life. She said, well, don't know what to tell you, but listen here, one of my friends went on holiday and look at the lovely pictures. And she took out her phone and she browsed through the pictures. And immediately when she browsed through the pictures, I knew this was pictures of Scotland. Because as a child, I loved pictures of Scotland. And she said to me, and she took me by the arm, she said to me, do you remember that you said as a child you will be working in Scotland? And when she said it, I knew I said it. You know, sometimes you forget things in your life, and then when someone else tells you, you remember. It was exactly a moment like that. And then she said, translating freely, my boy, that is the place you need to be now. And she knew nothing of my prayers. No one in our family knew of this. And there I knew. Oh, dear. Scotland. Yes.
Well, God obviously answers prayer. I don't know whether it's irreverent to say sometimes God might have a sense of humor. I haven't really seen or heard of Flower of Scotland and other things being part of God's answer. But let's just be aware that God has answered our prayers and continues to answer prayers in amazing ways. Before we let you go, you are here on a placement called familiarization. Yes, a big word. I just wonder, have you been able to begin to understand a little bit about what this year ahead has for you as well as for us?
It's a very good question and a vast question, but I have a supervisor during this year, Jenny Adams, which most of you might know from Duffus, and each week we sit down with each other reflecting. So I'm very honest with you this morning. I was very in a place of very disorientation in the first month and a half, not only physically, but concerning where am I, what is the calling of the Lord. And through it all, I would reflect with Jenny, and I would tell Jenny, Jenny, you need to help me because I really struggle with a lot of things now, which I'm not used to struggle. I don't think so. And then through it all, and that's a witness unto you, and we have a saying, don't put jam around someone's mouth, being smooth-talking them. But through this 2 months I've been with you, the constant thing I could witness of is of your love and openness and warm-heartedness through the confusion I had this 2 months. So thank you for that. You ask, do I see the Lord in this? Definitely I see the Lord in this. There's a lot of things I learn during this period. I'm sharing one. For the first time in my life, I feel like being on the opposite side of life. Sorry, it's very strange. That's fine. We said Mary Magdalene could cry, we can cry. And on a very strange side of life, where your accent or your language puts you in as a stranger. But I want to thank you for not making me a stranger. I get it out there some places. So the Lord is walking a very good but very strange path with myself. I've been in ministry for 14 years. This is the first time. I also feel, a bit of the marginalized. Silly, not with you, but in this context. I look forward to the year. I pray with you for the future of this church. I don't have the answers, but we can discern together and ask the Lord together to show us. If he had weird and strange ways to show me to come here, I believe for this year we could also trust him in that. Thank you, Fiona.
Oh, absolutely. I just want to share with you the first impression that I had, and us as a nominating committee had, was meeting you on Skype. Now, Skype, for those of you who've used that as a means of talking to people on the other side of the world, can sometimes be slightly artificial. Mm. There was absolutely nothing artificial about the warmth of your smile before you said anything, whatever your accent or anything like that. We knew the warmth of your personality and your faith your love for God. So you have brought that to us. We have a privilege to have you on this part of your journey. We will be there with you. Please tell us if we talk too fast.
No.
If we say things you don't understand, if we do things that you find odd.
Not yet.
We have developed that friendship and that openness. Yes. But let's together find where God is taking us as a congregation, you and for the future. So thank you. And thank you for sharing everything of yourself.
Thank you very much, Fiona. And again, witnessing what I just said was I only feel goodness and welcoming from you. Really, thank you. I praise the Lord for that from you. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us this morning as a congregation, as your loved ones. And thank you also for a good meeting this morning with information that helps us to understand our responsibilities as a congregation, as a church, as your feet, hand, and your body within different societies, communities, Lambright and Uckert. Thank you for gifts that you bestowed upon us. And this morning we thank you for the gifts of things like stewardship, leadership, administration, hospitality, you name it. But most of all, let us always know and remember the greatest gift of it all is your love. Love overpowers, love in courage, and love of enthusiasm. May we live in it, may we constantly share it with others. May we live from it. Thank you for your blessings in abundance. And we ask your guidance for the years to come, that we may live according to your will. Ask you how, where, and what. And this we pray in your name as our Father, as our Savior, and as our comforter. Amen.